I've done my preparing, my due diligence. I've spent time in the Word and before the Lord and in preparation for today, and really feel like I have a word for you guys. And I'm really excited about it. Every time I start to pray, you know, something happens inside. And so when I looked at the material that I was covering, I thought, you know, this seems like a nice, you know, this is going to flow nice and be okay. Everybody's going to come through this all right. And then the more I spend time in it, I get more stirred. Like, there's something really the Lord plans to impart today that's bigger than I dreamed. And so I felt inspired. I took a break in the preparation. I took a little drive in the ragtop. And just driving in the beautiful weather yesterday morning, and I felt suddenly the Lord. I was like, oh. And I felt like the Lord was saying, listen, this is great that you've done your part, but that's not all of it. It's not all of it. The part, there's two parts that are going to happen this morning, and part of it's your responsibility. And there's nothing I can do to make that lighter or easier for you. It's you. It's your responsibility. From whatever age, no matter how young or old, this is the part of the message that's your responsibility. And I felt like the Lord was wanting me to encourage you to pray with me, because we have to open our spirit man up. We have to invite the Holy Spirit to come and quicken us, because we're all different, and we're all ministered to by the same Holy Spirit, but He ministers to us in different ways because we're unique individuals. And He wants to impart something to each one of us today, and it's going to come as I minister this word, but it's going to come by your partnership with the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to ask your permission to lead you in a prayer that would just be a prayer of, Lord, I want to invite your Holy Spirit to partner with my spirit, that there would be an impartation today, that I would be transformed. Does that sound good? I'll just lead and you guys follow. Does that sound good? So, Lord, I just thank you for the power of your love, that you'd send your Son for me. I want to know more of the truth of your Son. I want the real Jesus, the three-dimensional Jesus. I want to know who He is, how He would respond to things. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me from the inside to receive what you want for me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. That's not something I usually do. I was like, okay, Lord, that sounds fun. Because we do. It's a partnership. And I wanted to start off in... I wanted to tell you guys, the message today is called Our Friend the Outlaw. We've been reading together as a congregation, a lot of us, the beautiful outlaw, Jesus Christ. And isn't it nice? I've really enjoyed it. I'm all the way to chapter 3. And so most of the message is in those first few chapters, maybe four. We're just going to go through what stirred me in the middle of it. I just was looking at it in this scripture in John. Let's start here in John. I'll give you guys a chance to find it. Probably in one of these screens. John 21:3. It's John 21, the caption of the chapter, or this chapter says breakfast by the sea. And so we're starting in this story where Jesus is well, first of all, I guess what I should preempt this all with, what's going on in this time frame, is that Jesus has just recently been crucified and raised from the dead. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. The disciples weren't all that, I'm not sure what exactly it was. Maybe they were intimidated by cemeteries, or I don't know. I'm trying to, throughout the message, get you guys to think differently about the scriptures. So, you know, there may be times when I'll expect you to laugh, and, you know, it's always going to be your choice. I'm not trying to manipulate you. But, yeah, we'll find some cookies over here after them. But, so, Jesus has arisen from the grave. Some of his faithful followers, some of the ladies went down to check things out and found the tomb empty. They came and reported to the disciples. And so the disciples were like, not so sure about it. And Peter especially, he and about seven other of the disciples were like, oh, what's going on? And it was so hard to figure out. It's hard for us to realize what was going on in that time. Their anticipation was that Jesus was going to become king, not in a spiritual sense, but in a really physical, real sense, like king. Hey, I'm going to be one of the princes in this new kingdom, and we're going to kick the Romans out, and we're going to have ourselves Judaism like it ought to be. And so they're confused. Oh, wow, this didn't turn out like I thought it would. This didn't turn out at all like I thought it would. Any takers? This did not turn out like I thought it would. Okay, so Jesus can relate. And we're talking about Jesus as a friend. And how real do you want Jesus to be? How real do you want Jesus to be? And how close a friend do you want in Jesus? And so as we go through this message, we're looking at the real Jesus. How close a friend do we want him to be? And how real do we want him to be? Because he's coming to these guys that are so upset about this discouragement, about the plans they had and the thinking they had and the anticipation of this event they had that's been crushed. And they're trying to get their head around what's going on. And so they decide to go fishing. I know what I'll do. Let's just go fishing. So they go and they're fishing all night. And fishing's no fun if you're not catching anything. It's no fun at all. It's pretty boring. You're just kind of So there it's morning now, so they've fished all night and they're coming up on morning. And Jesus, here in 5, Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food? Have you caught any fish?" Isn't that funny? That, you know, every tourist in the world, if you walk by someone that's fishing, what's the first question that pops in your mind? Hey, did you catch anything? And if they have, man, they're like, "Yeah, look at that." Or the, "So, hey, did you catch anything?" And they think, well, who's this? Who's this? They don't recognize him at all. Then he says, so they just answer, no, we didn't catch anything. We've been here all night fishing our tails off and nothing, not even a little bit. And so he says, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast the net, and they're not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord." How did they know? How did they know instantly? It's not the first time this has happened. It's not the first time this has happened. So they're like, "Oh, I know who this is. I know what's about to happen." Peter wraps his outer garment around him. Evidently, fishing is embarrassing, and so you have to be prepared to throw your outer garment on to get back into the population. But out on the boat, it doesn't even matter. You know, just a bunch of guys fishing. Wraps his garment around him and rushes out to Jesus, and the rest of them are gathering the fish in. I wanted to make sure we got the John 21 so you can read it later. It's a great story, and it makes us think, I wonder what was on Jesus' mind. I know about a story of Jesus called the Mount of Transfiguration, where they see him and his face shines like the sun, and his robes are white, and the fashion that he comes is not like that. He's just defeated everything. He just came and rescued humankind. He's come and done what he was sent to do. He's got to be in a great mood, huh? Wow, I did it. I did it. I've been restored to my Father. I've been restored to my people. I've been restored. I went through it all. And now I'm going to go see my men, my friends, my compadres. They're out fishing. I'm going to go talk to them. I'm going to go connect with them again. What do you think his mood was? I bet he was pretty excited. I bet he was real excited. And I bet he was thinking about, how am I going to interact with these guys so that they can relate to me? You know, he's been with them all these years, and they've followed his ministry. They've served him faithfully, and they've become really close. And so he's excited as they are. And so we take time to think, what's he up to? Isn't it curious that he would just kind of nonchalantly show up on the beach asking the tourist question, hey, you guys catch any fish? Are you having fun? What's up? And they get there, and he's got this fire, and he's got some fish on it, and he tells them to bring some more. They're gonna enjoy this meal together. Have you ever wondered why he came like that? I wonder why he just came in this casual way and invited them to breakfast. And they even mention the number of fish in the Bible. I always found that curious too. I wonder what they did. You know, 153 fish, 158, 50 something. I want you guys to read it, so I'm not going to make it too clear. But anyway, so we're thinking, I wonder who counted the fish. I wonder the timing of that. Did they, wait a minute, let's count these fish and then we'll have breakfast. Or did they leave everything, go have breakfast with Jesus, eat some fish with him, and then towards the end, after they've listened to him talk and shared stories with him, did they say, oh, you know what, we need to go clean up that net and get those fish together, get them to market, and we got to count them and separate. And maybe Jesus said, oh, there's 153. I can help you out there. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah. We've got Jesus with us. We've got the real thing here. We've got the real thing. And so Jesus comes to us in a nonchalant way because he doesn't want to scare us off. He wants to draw us in, and he doesn't want to present himself in a way that intimidates us. He wants us close. He wants us close. And the whole point of his sacrifice was to draw us close to the Father, to make a way for us, right? So that we could get to know him better, so that we could have a relationship. And the enemy wants to rob us of this with this religious fog. And last week, we heard a great message on repentance. If you weren't here, it's there's directions on how to get there on YouTube, and you can hear it on your electrical device. You can get on the internet. You can be in cyberspace listening to Pastor Roger's message on repentance. And you don't need a special suit. A lot of spacemen have to have a... Anyway, I'm showing my age. Hey, you caught it though. So anyway, we're back to Jesus and thinking about how he comes to communicate with us and relate to us. And I love the story by the sea, where the first interaction with him, he wanted his disciples to have this personal experience. And he wanted to take him from this place of confusion to understanding. And so when he shows up, they're very excited. He has them come and eat breakfast. And he breaks the bread with them. We're going to have communion. We're going to be breaking bread with Jesus today. Breaks the bread and has the fish. It is the third time that he showed himself to the disciples. To get the full picture of who Jesus is, I want to go from that story to Matthew 15. We're just looking at a few stories. Matthew 15:22. Now behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, so this is a woman from Canaan. So let's think a minute. Canaan. Who knows anything about Canaan or the Canaanites? Really, I thought maybe one or two hands. Come on, this is a church. You guys read your Bible. They're in there, okay? The children of Israel are heading to the promised land, and the Canaanites are messing with them all the time. So they get to the promised land, and the Canaanites happen to be there. So they have to kick them out to get in. And some of them tricked them, and they made a few mistakes along the way. So anyway, this Canaanite woman has got a history, okay? We don't like these people, and we don't associate with them. I know. It's not politically correct, is it? But it's true. So let's go. Let's see here. Where were we? And behold, this woman of Canaan came and from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. He answered her not a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Can you get rid of this person? And he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that the loving, kind Jesus you know? We're looking for the whole deal, right? We want the whole thing. We want the real deal. This is Jesus. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not guessing any of us qualify, right? Huh? A little different perspective. It's okay when it's them, but wait, he's talking about me. What? Oh, buddy, Jesus. She came and worshipped him, saying, help me, Lord. And he answered, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Oh. Okay. So she says, great, fine. And walks off, stomping her feet. A cloud of dust. Say, you guys have been reading the Bible, haven't you? I was worried for a minute, but you came through that time. So she says, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. What? Wow. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. It's interesting to me that Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission to rescue mankind from sin, to give us power over death, power over sin, so that we could walk in a connection with the Holy Spirit like he did. He came as a man. He came with real emotions, with real feeling, real everything real, just like you and me. He had struggles. And that's what makes it so powerful, that he understands our struggles. He understands when we pray and we say, Lord, I need help. I need you to come into this situation and do something. Come and move. Come and answer this request. Lord, I need you right here. He feels it inside. And the scriptures fill with stories where he's heading somewhere and someone slows him down. And a lot of times the disciples aren't sympathetic at all. The blind man crying out, Jesus, son of David, shut up. We're on a mission here. Shut up. Quit. Jesus, son of David. He gets louder. And Jesus is moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion. He feels it. He knows the pain of being blind all your life, not having any answers. He understands, he can relate to the tragedies in our life. We live in a world today where there's a lot of tragedies. So how real do we want Jesus to be? And how close a friend do we want him to be? Because Jesus wants to be as close as we can imagine him being. He wants to be as close with us as he was with the disciples. I want to read this scripture from the Message Bible. It's from John. And John says, From the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it all with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now, we're telling you in the most sober pose that what we witnessed was incredibly this, the infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. So that you can experience it along with us. They wanted us to experience the life of Jesus Christ the way they did. The transformation they went through. Where they were bound by the religion of the day. That God was this distant being in heaven that was separated from us by a space and time that we could never reach Him. And we would humble ourselves and long for something real, but it was so distant and we were so minuscule. The religious spirit wants to convince us that we don't have the place. That the chasm between us and God is great. But the disciples, John, yearned for us to know Him. To know Him like we know each other. And even better. Because the Lord's a better friend. The Lord's a better friend. I've been married to the most wonderful woman for 34 years. And I'm not that good at being a husband. I really want to be better. I'm challenged by the way this woman loves me. I'm challenged to be a better husband. And I know that the way we relate is limited because we make assumptions in our minds about one another and misunderstand things that go on between us. And so there's a working out our relationship. It doesn't just happen. I have to pay attention. I have to invest. Because there's value in that investment. The interaction brings great value. So it's worth it to invest, to get in there and find out who this woman really is. And not go by what happened yesterday, regardless of how wondrous it could have been and was, I still don't have the full understanding of who she is. And so I need to invest some time in our relationship and get to know her a little better. Spend some time finding out what's going on with her. And it's the same with our relationship with Jesus. I've known Jesus almost as long as I've known her. We got married, and a couple years into our marriage, I got saved. And a couple months later, she got saved. And so we've known each other longer. But getting to know Jesus, who He really is, the fullness of who it is, isn't easy because it doesn't go without a cost. And just like the enemy hates our wonderful marriage, it hates our relationship with the King of Glory. And wants to put a fog around the reality of what happened so that we are satisfied with less. Is that what the religious spirit does? That's what it is. It's making us satisfied with less. I want to look at this one other story. Let's turn to John 1. I'm going left from Matthew. John's not there. Okay. John 1. You have to go right from Matthew. If you find yourself in Matthew looking for John, go right. Take a right. John 1, 43 through 50. We're looking at, here we are. So the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So Jesus is building His base of disciples. "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, here we are in 45, and said to him, "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law And also the prophets wrote, Jesus the Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. So Jesus, 47, saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So Jesus is funny. Yeah, I know. This is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit, no guile, some translations say. And he says, oh, Master, you're him. You're it. You're the one. Jesus is like, yeah, that's all it took? That's it? Okay. One last story of Jesus before we get more to this more serious point. I love to look at Luke 24. And Luke 24, starting in 13, we see Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And so these two disciples are walking along the road and they encounter this guy. And he doesn't say much. Their eyes were strained, so they didn't know him. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days? He said, what things? Remember, just raised from the dead, just back, trying to help the disciples understand what's going on. What things? That seems funny to me. So what things? And they said, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Swallow hard moment. So Jesus walks along with them and lets him explain to them what's going on. So they go on to say, 22, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they'd also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us. Certain of those who went to the tomb and found it was just as a woman said, but him they did not see. Oh my goodness, this is making our heads hurt. We don't know what's going on. I don't understand. He was going to be king and then he was crucified by the chief priest. It doesn't make sense. And then they find his tomb empty and they see a vision. And I don't know what to make of this. I don't know how to put this together. I don't know what to do with myself. Can you relate? And so Jesus says to them, O foolish ones, slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered those things to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, he begins to explain it. So Jesus took the time to help them get a handle on what's going on. This is how it was talked about. And you read in this two-dimensional. Have you guys ever communicated something by text? It's sometimes tough because they can't see you wink at them. And they can misunderstand and think you're mad. And so they've read and understood the Bible as best they could, but they couldn't see the wink. And so Jesus went back and explained things to them so that they can understand that this all happened just like it was foretold. so that you and I could communicate. And then he goes on with his charade. They drove near a village, and he indicated that he would have gone further. It's been real. What? No, wait. Listen, why don't you come and hang out with us some more? I love the stories you're telling. The way you're describing the Bible is incredible. This is so fun. I want to hang out with you some more. Can you just come and hang out with us? They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's towards evening and the day's far spent." Come on, how much further are you going to make it? It's getting dark. And it came to pass, he sat at the table with them, and he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Okay, so he's just kind of showing up, giving them some courage, and then he's gone. He's got things to do. Things to do. Love you, mean it. And he moves on. So now we're going to go to the last scripture. Because, you know, the full picture of Jesus, I'm enjoying his sense of humor. I just love the way Matthew 16. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Okay, let me get a hold of you, Jesus. I'm going to take you over here in the corner. I don't want to do this in front of everybody because I'm sorry to have to correct you like this, but let me straighten you out. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. When the cloud shows up, you don't know you're in a cloud. You don't know you're in a cloud. You think things are good. I can straighten some things out. I got saved by being religious. Yeah. This guy came and told me he was going to heaven, and I told him he was full of pride and he was going to hell. I was in a fog. I didn't know I was religious. I thought I was helping him out. Let me help you out, buddy. You're full of pride. You're going to hell. Thanks. Appreciate it. Just what I needed. Could I have some coffee with that? Yeah, I thought I was helping him out. And he thought he was helping Jesus out. Peter thought, I can help you out here. Let me correct you a little. Just a little adjustment here, Jesus. Other than that, you're really doing good. I want to encourage you. And I don't want this to come like a downer, okay? Everything else is really nice. The healing and things, you got that down, man. I'm really envious. But let me just straighten you out here. Take some aside. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Oh, Jesus, you're so sweet. Oh. So how do we get a handle on this Jesus rebuking Peter? I think it helps to understand, you know, it's easy to forget the whole origin of Jesus. You know, we see the pictures of this huge, healthy baby with the halo. Yeah? Seen the pictures? Super baby. But the fact is that he was born in a manger, and he was a real baby, okay? He had to be fed. I'm sure, you know, that they mixed a bottle for him, you know, shook it up, carnation, or I don't know who makes that stuff. No, he was breastfed, and he was needy. He would not have survived if mommy hadn't taken care of him, okay? So he grew up loving mom and respecting her. But he also grew up with dad saving his life, right? There was a genocide. the likes of Bosnia and Rwanda and Burma. You know, we know what genocide is. That race must be eliminated. And in the Christmas story, we don't hear that part very much. It's not a part of my manger scene at home. How would you do that? It's tragic. It's heart-wrenching. It's inconceivable. Those were innocent children. They'd done nothing wrong. And it wasn't a few. It was many. Herod the king came and killed the children trying to eliminate Jesus Christ. But Joseph had been warned in a dream and had already left. And so the outlaw is what Jesus was. He was dodging the authorities, hiding out, trying to survive. And so when Jesus told Peter, "I'm resolute, I'm going to fulfill my destiny, I'm going to walk into Jerusalem and fulfill the word of God." And, you know, the fog of religion wants us to think that Jesus had it easy because he was God. But he put aside all that and became a man. And he had struggles. And when Peter said that, it sounded good. But he had to say no. I mean, think of the emotion behind it. No, these things cannot happen to you, Jesus. He's probably thinking, you don't know how much I would love for this anguish not to have to be fulfilled. There's a word about it in the garden where he asks his disciples, stay here and pray. And he goes and he prays like sweat begins to come like blood on his body. And he's like, Father, if this cup can be taken from me, you could do anything. If you could take this cup from me, do it. But not my will. Your will be done. And so Jesus was torn with what was going on in his life. The things he was facing were bigger than he wanted to go through. How close of a friend do you want in Jesus? How real do you want Jesus to be? And so Jesus is walking with us the real thing. In Luke 13, Jesus is in the synagogue. I've got you guys all over the screen. A Bible. Okay, I got a few chuckles. Huh? You're coming. So the Bible or the screen, the screen has the scripture on it. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no ways raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed, your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered and said, You hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it to water? So ought this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath? Woo! Yeah, I think so. Yes. And so Jesus is indignant with the religion of that day, keeping this woman away from what she needed because of some religious attitude. And so Jesus was furious. The same as when he was confronting the storm. The same word he used when he rebuked the storm he used, when he got to shore, there was the legion, right? The guy that was possessed. Who are you? We are legion, for we are many. Get out, go into the pigs. He delivers the guy, gets back in the boat, and sails away. And so Jesus comes for the one. It doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter what you've done or what's been done to you. Jesus comes for you. Jesus comes for you. Just like, let's have the people doing communion come. Jesus comes for you, just like he came for the one. He came and delivered him, dealt with that, dealt with the storm to get there, and then dealt with the enemy frustrating them. Frustrating that guy, bound him, and set him free. And now for us, how real do you want Jesus to be? And how close a friend do you want Jesus to be? As we take communion together, I'm going to ask that they go ahead and serve you. And everyone's going to hold their communion together. We'll just hold it together. Thank you, Gordy.
You're welcome.
I've been taking food from Gordy for a long time. So this represents, Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." And he had some instructions for us. If you have anything against anyone, let me give you a little reference. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about taking it lightly, that it's not wise. It's not wise. Jesus paid a huge price for us. And the price was worth it because of you. The price he paid was worth it because of you. And it's important for you to understand that it was worth the sacrifice because of you. Because if you don't realize that it was for you, then you're at risk of taking it lightly. So this is my body, broken for you and for many. This represents... our passage into another kingdom. This is what it took. This was the price. This was my ticket to become a child of the living God. This is what it took, and this is the only ticket. There is no counterfeit that works. You can't sneak in. It's the biggest price that's ever been paid. It's amazing that once it was paid, Jesus didn't come in shining glory like the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't come like the amazing Son of God that he is. He came in a way that you could relate to. He came in a way that was light. Because the weight of your sins are enough. The weight of the struggles you've faced in your life are enough. And the price that you've paid living in a world where children are at risk of being enslaved. In a world where it's so dark and pastors are trapped in pornography. And the world is just a really painful place to be. And Jesus didn't come to add to that. He came to break the yoke that you carry and lift the sin off that you struggle with and been embarrassed by and ashamed of. He wants to lift it off, break it like it was a burden that no longer constrains you and give you power over it so that it would never torment you again. Even rescue you from the religion that wants you to think it's okay to live in the struggle of it. I like to have fun. And I like to be entertained. And I often entertain myself. And when we look at Jesus in these stories, he really knew how to love. And he was fun to be around. It was fun to be around Jesus. The reason you like to have fun is because it's the way you were created. You can look at the person next to you and say, I can see you like to have fun too. It's how we're created. And so Jesus came so that you could have fun with the Father too. This ticket, this price of His body is so valuable. And before we take it today, I want us to pray together about that religious fog. Can we do that? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's ways that I haven't noticed, but I've partnered with the fog. I've been trapped in the thinking that the life I'm living is enough, and it's not. I want the fullness of Jesus Christ. I want the real Jesus. I want to have a friend in Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the real Him. I want to know the 3D Jesus. I want to know the Jesus that's angry and happy and loves me and talks to me and encourages me and spends time with me. I want to have a friend in Jesus, and I want the real thing. And I'm sorry for every place where I wouldn't let the fullness of Jesus be in me. And as I partake of this bread, I want it to do something. As I ingest this ticket, this that Jesus referred to as His body broken for me, I want to take it in like never before for me personally. This is a gift from my Savior, Jesus Christ, my brother in the kingdom, to me personally. And I receive it as that. Let's partake together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll hold the cup together and partake together in a little bit. The beauty of the blood of Jesus Christ is that it washes away our sins and it heals us. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's so amazing. Jesus equated our healing at the same level as our salvation. That He was just as concerned with our healing as He was with our salvation. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that caring? I just love Jesus. He's so fun. And it's interesting to me that the healing part is the most difficult. I don't understand. I don't understand at all. I don't understand. I just don't understand. I have very little for you here. I know that Jesus loves us and that there's a battle that goes on. And if we receive a healing by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, then it not only affects us, but shackles come off other people. Because you can't argue with someone's testimony. That's their testimony. And the power of a testimony is that the Holy Spirit comes and partners with it. And something happens in the person you're talking to. And they know it's true. They know it's true. You know things by your spirit that you can't explain, but you know it. And that's what happens when you share your testimony about Jesus Christ. People go, whoa. This is the real deal. This is the real thing, because the Holy Spirit comes and does something with your words, and they bear witness inside, not in their head, but in their heart, in their knower. And it's the same with healing. There's such an opposition against this. The religious spirit hates you getting healed so much because it's a testimony that cannot be quieted, that cannot be shut up. And it delights Jesus because He loves you so much. And He wants to minister healing. Not just physical healing, although physical healings are awesome. I'm believing for one myself. I played soccer with my son-in-law. Bruised the bottom of my foot. Both of them. It hurts. So that's a real mild thing. You know, there's some deep emotional wounds that the Lord's real excited to be healing. And there's things that the Lord wants to heal that are way more serious and really, really difficult even to articulate. There are places in our lives that the Lord wants to touch that we can't even describe to someone else. And it's by the power of the blood. And Jesus wants to wash away even the stain, the sin, the condemnation, the thing that makes you think of yourself differently based on your past. And maybe the past isn't far enough past for you yet. I've made mistakes as a Christian. And I want you to understand that the power of this blood is so incredible. It's so amazing that it can wash away the stain, the condemnation you feel about mistakes you've made in the past, while healing you, while doing the thing you've been believing for that you haven't been able to get to because of the condemnation you feel about the past. Let's allow Jesus Christ to break through every wall today, to break down every religious barrier, and come into our hearts in a way like never before, ministering emotional, physical healing, to come to us like never before, the real 3D Jesus, every part of it. Come real to us, like they cried out. Let's see that scripture one more time. Like they cried out in 1 John. This is from the Message Bible. I want to read that again before we partake together. From the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes. We verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly. The infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it. We heard it. And now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift the cup together in Jesus' name. We want to experience communion like they experienced communion with Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son together. Lord, break through every wall as we believe you together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we trust you. We put all of our faith in you for transforming us, Lord, into the examples of you that you wanted to make us like you, full of confidence and peace on a mission from the Father. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, we just receive the real deal. We receive the real Jesus, full of joy, full of strength, full of power. And we receive the joy down deep in our souls. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That you would strengthen us today with the power of your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's get our children and fellowship together.